السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين، وعلى آله وأصحابه وأزواجه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد، كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم، إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد، كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم، إنك حميد مجيد. Continuing on with the discussion on this great companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We mentioned he was the first child to accept Islam. We mentioned his connection with Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he had a blood relation with him. He was his first cousin. We mentioned his closeness and his nearness with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as well. We also mentioned that he married the most beloved daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and at the same time that daughter was given the title. What title? Nobody remembers? I think we have to repeat whatever we said last week. The leader of the women in paradise, Fatima radiallahu anha, was given that title. So we have, alhamdulillah, discussed quite a few points in regards to Ali radiallahu anhu, and inshallah we'll continue with a little more important points in regards to him, and then inshallah we'll conclude on how Ali radiallahu anhu passed away and some misunderstandings in regards to Ali radiallahu anhu. Once during the time of the Khilafah, the reigns of Ali radiallahu anhu, he saw a person who was not a Muslim. And that person, he had the armor that belonged to Ali radiallahu anhu. When Ali radiallahu anhu saw that this person has my armor, he said to him that this doesn't belong to you, it belongs to me. That person, he said, how can you just come to me and say that this belongs to you? What proof do you have? Does it have your name on it? Does it say anywhere that it belongs to you? Ali radiallahu anhu said no. Ali radiallahu anhu, he went to the court at that time. I mean, it wasn't really a court, but it was a person designated to resolve these type of issues. So the person in charge, his name was Qadi Shuraih. Ali radiallahu anhu, remember, he is the leader. He doesn't need to do this, you would think. He is the Khalifa, he's the leader at that time. He's going to the judge who is appointed by him, and he is also a Muslim like him, and the other person is a non-Muslim. When Ali radiallahu anhu presented his case, and he said to the judge that, you know, this person, he took my armor. The first question the judge said, that what proof do you have? Bring some witnesses. Ali radiallahu anhu, he said, my son is here. Hassan, use him as a witness. The judge said, no, you can't have your son as a witness. You can't use your son as a witness. Ali radiallahu anhu said, fine, that's fine. I have my slave. He again said, you can't use your slave. Ali radiallahu anhu had no choice but to leave the courtroom without winning the battle, and he had to admit that this armor was not his and it belonged to that person. Now again, let's stop there. Let's understand the scenario. Who is this judge? He is appointed by Ali. Ali radiallahu anhu is the leader. The judge is a Muslim. Ali is a Muslim. That person is not. Ali radiallahu anhu, as he is leaving and he leaves the courtroom, that person who actually did take the armor of Ali, he comes behind him and he taps him on the shoulder. He looks back and he sees the same person. So what do you want? You already took my armor. What else do you want from me? He says, I want to accept Islam. I want to accept Islam. He said, it's true, this armor belongs to you. But the way how things were done so justly, I have not seen anywhere in the world that people being so just. Such a religion that teaches that type of justice. That since you did not have witnesses, even though you appointed this judge, and you are the leader, and yet, subhanAllah, and you both are on the same faith, believing in the same thing, and yet the judge ruled against you and he put me in favor because I had, you know, there was nothing against me, it was against you. And subhanAllah, that person, he accepted Islam. Before moving on to the next incident, let us understand a very important lesson. A very important lesson. And that is, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he tells us in the hadith, قُلِ الْحَقِّ وَإِن كَانَ مُرْ. Say the truth, even if it may be bitter. Say the truth, even if it may be bitter. You may think you may get in trouble at that time, but it's okay. Truth at all costs. When your dad comes home and he sees the lamp is broken and he asks, Abdullah, did you do it? No, Abdullah, no, I didn't do it. It was him, it was my brother. But when your dad asked the other brother, did you do it? No, I didn't do it. So who did it? It's the mother did it? Your mom did it? Obviously not. I hope not. Then who did it? It must be one of the two. You see, then what happens is, see, the nature of lie is that it leads to another lie. The nature of lying is that when a person starts lying, then he doesn't stop. He has no choice. He has to keep lying. So Abdullah, you didn't do it. And Abdurrahman, you're saying you didn't do it. So who did it? Were you here today? Yes, I was here. What were you doing today? I was sitting in the basement. You didn't come in the living room? I didn't come in the living room. That's another lie. The lamp is in the living room. If you're sitting in the basement all day, then all of a sudden it just broke. Right? قُلِ الْحَقِّ وَإِن كَانَ مُرْ. I'm giving examples to the kids, but I can give examples for adults, which I don't want to right now. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he came to Mecca, after he was no choice but he had to leave Mecca and come to Medina. And now he's making his way back to Mecca. and he's conquering Makkah. He conquers Makkah, the first thing he does is he removes all the idols that were there. There were certain idols which were inside the Kaaba. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he asked Ali radiallahu anhu that, "Ali, let me climb on your shoulder so I can get up there and go inside and remove the idols." Ali radiallahu anhu, he said, "O Prophet of Allah, I won't be able to bear the weight of Nubuwwah of Prophethood. I won't be able to do it. I'm sorry." It was known about Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that at random times he used to receive revelation. There was no set time. It wasn't that after Fajr, okay, Jibreel alayhi salam is coming. Or after Adhur. No, there was no set time, depending on the situation. And one Sahabi, he says that once I was sitting with Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I was sitting so close to him that his leg was on top of my leg. That's how close I was sitting. And all of a sudden, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he started to receive revelation. And he says, "Subhanallah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's face changed, and because of the weight of the wahi of revelation." Remember, what is revelation? It's the words of Allah coming down on Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's not something small, it's a huge thing. This Sahabi, he says that as soon as the wahi started coming down on Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I felt such heaviness on my leg, I thought my leg was going to break. I thought my leg was just going to break. So Ali radiallahu anhu was aware of the situation. He thought, "No, that was just the leg. If the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entirely is on me, and then revelation comes, I'm finished. Prophet of Allah, I don't want to take that chance." So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "Ali, if you are not willing that I come on your shoulder, then why don't you come on mine?" Subhanallah. Ali radiallahu anhu, he thought for a second, he said, what an opportunity that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, amongst all of those people, how many people when Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam conquered Mecca? 10,000, mashallah. So out of the 10,000, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he chose Ali. At that time, he could have said somebody else, but he reversed it. And he said, "Ali, why don't you climb on my shoulder?" And subhanallah, Ali radiallahu anhu, he climbed on the shoulder of Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He went inside and he cleaned out all the idols. You know, we wish we can see Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We wish that we can just take a glance. And over here, Ali radiallahu anhu is climbing on his shoulder, going inside the Kaaba. You know, it's such a great honor, two honors. You know, or three honors, you could say. That, you know, just visiting the Kaaba is such a great honor. But inside, going inside the Kaaba is another honor. And going inside on the shoulder of Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would get upset. And it was natural. He wasn't some other type of human or some other type of creation of Allah. He was a human being after all. And there were times when Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would get upset. And in fact, Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in, they said, we could even detect, we can tell when Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would get upset. Do you know how? Who knows? There was a vein on the forehead of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that when he would get upset, Sahaba, they say, that it would stick out a little. They would say, okay, this is the red light. That's it. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is upset. Everyone is worried and, you know, they're very cautious. So now when Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he would be upset, sometimes he may have gotten upset over a certain scenario. Maybe something happened between Sahaba. Maybe something happened at home. Whatever reason. Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'een, they would talk to one another and they would ask each other, what should we do to calm Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam down? So, in most of the cases, all the Sahaba would say, Ali, why don't you go? Why don't you go and try to calm Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam down? Right? This also tells us that there were certain people that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had a very special attachment with. He had a very special attachment with. But that does not mean that he favored other people over others. He did not favor others upon others. He had a special attachment with Ali. He had a special attachment with Abu Hurairah. He had a special attachment with Anas. We all know they had a very special attachment with Abu Bakr, Umar, and Uthman. We know that. But he did not ever make others feel that they were not wanted. No one felt uncomfortable in the gathering of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I mentioned this before and I'll mention it again. That Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he passed away, do you know how many Sahaba were there approximately? Anyone knows? Not at the time of Mecca, we already discussed that. Approximately 124,000 Sahaba. 124,000 Sahaba. When Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam conquered Mecca, how many Sahaba we said? 10,000. What year did Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam conquer Mecca? 8th Hijri, in the 8th year after migration. When Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam migrated to Medina, how many Sahaba? Few hundred. We don't know the exact number, a few hundred. Definitely less than 1,000 at that time. Now subhanAllah, from the time he migrated until the brother he mentioned, the 8th Hijri, there were 10,000. When did Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam pass away? And which year? 10th. So subhanAllah, from the first year to the 7th, 10,000 accepted. From the 7th year to the 10th year, 3 years, from 10,000 to 124,000. To 124,000 Sahaba. And subhanAllah, so that means most of the Sahaba only spent a few years with Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Right? Most of the Sahaba, they didn't get that time that Abu Bakr had. They didn't get the time that Umar had. They didn't get the time that Ali had. They didn't get that time. He had only a few years. And Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu is also one of them. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, you know, we hear his name all the time. He is one of those Sahaba, Sahabi. And where he accepted Islam in the later stages of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's life. But he narrated the most hadith. He says himself, people would be on business, people would be doing different things, and I would be sitting there in the masjid, learning the hadith and memorizing the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now subhanAllah, within these 2-3 years, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he developed such a strong bond with these Sahaba, such a strong connection, that when the day he passed away, every single Sahabi, do you know what he said? That I feel the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the closest to me. Only a Prophet can do that. Then I give an example of our children. We have 4 children. We may have 3 children. And every single child feels, my father, he likes the other one better. Over here you have 124,000 Sahaba. None of them said, no, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he liked Abu Bakr better. No. Every single one of them felt Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had a special attachment with me. That's not something easy to do. It was one of the miracles of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We all know that Ali radiallahu anhu was also from amongst the Ashra Mubashara, the 10 of those people who were granted Jannah by the lips of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Another great quality of Ali radiallahu anhu, but he was a tremendous lecturer. He used to really give good lectures. Khatib, when he used to speak, he used to speak with a lot of power. Right? Some Sahaba had great qualities, some didn't have those qualities. Ali radiallahu anhu, he possessed that quality. And we also know that we talked about the bravery of Ali radiallahu anhu. He was amongst the top of the Sahaba when it came to bravery and when it came to strength. Remember last week we mentioned about that. That how many people had to carry the shield, which was the door that he used as a shield? 8 people. Said even then we had a very hard time lifting that door, and Ali radiallahu anhu, he held that door in one hand throughout the entire day, and he used that as his shield. Another incident, Ali radiallahu anhu, once Prophet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam sahaba, they were preparing for battle. And normally when the battle used to take place during that time, what would happen is, before the actual war or the battle would happen, they would send the strongest person from each side, right, to have a confrontation, to have a battle first. So when from amongst the non-believers, they send such a strong person that it comes in the books of tariq and history and seerah that this person alone can take upon 100 people. 100 people. That this person alone can take on 100 people. They put this guy in the front. And subhanallah, when he came, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he made an announcement. Who will face that person? And it comes in the books of history that this person was like a giant. Without exaggeration. He was like a giant. It comes in the books of history in tariq and seerah that he was between 7 to 8 feet tall. And we can understand his strength if he can take upon 100 people. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he looks at his army, he sees compared to him, everyone's pretty small. Compared to him, everyone's very small. So Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he makes an announcement. Who is willing to challenge this person? Nobody raised their hand except for Ali radiallahu anhu. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he saw Ali radiallahu anhu raise his hand, but he did not pay much attention. And he looked at him and he looked around. Nobody else put up their hand. Again, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he made an announcement. Who is willing to challenge this person? And nobody put up their hand. Ali radiallahu anhu raised his hand. Again, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked at him and he turned his face away and he looked if there anyone else would. And subhanallah, the third time, and he made the announcement the third time, and again, nobody raised their hand. Ali radiallahu anhu, he's raising his hand like this. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, look at me, I'm here. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on the third time, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he gave permission and he granted permission to Ali radiallahu anhu to confront that person. Ali radiallahu anhu at that time was only 18 years old. Was only 18 years old, and it comes in the books of seerah that he was wearing slippers. He was wearing slippers, and this person, the 7 feet giant, he was covered top to bottom in the latest gear. And Ali radiallahu anhu had a sword, and he had a shield, and he was walking around in slippers. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he made dua for Ali radiallahu anhu. He made dua for the bravery of Ali radiallahu anhu. And subhanallah, the incident is very, very long. The story, you know, the long story short, is at the end, you know, this person, there was a long debate or conversation that took place between Ali radiallahu anhu and this person. It went on for a long time. And Ali radiallahu anhu, when he came out to challenge him, he started to laugh. He said, you're like the size of my leg. You want to challenge me? So long discussion took place, and this person, he said, no, I don't want to challenge you. I don't want to challenge you. And Ali radiallahu anhu, he insisted, no, I want to challenge you. And Ali radiallahu anhu was trying to somehow to get him to get going, you know, to let the giant out from inside. So this person, he said, look, you know, you're just a little kid. You're just a little kid. I don't want that I have your blood on my sword. It's not going to happen. I feel that that's a disgrace. Ali radiallahu anhu, subhanallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him such wisdom and words and bravery. He said, if I don't have your blood on my sword, I'm going to feel disgraced. And subhanallah, within one blow or two blows, Ali radiallahu anhu finished him on one spot. It's a very lengthy and interesting story, but inshallah, if you want to read, you can pick up the books of Sirah and you can go through it. And the reason why I'm not going through details, it will take long, and we won't be able to concentrate on everything else. And the other reason why I don't want to go into the story, because it's very interesting, I want you to pick up the books of Sirah and you start learning about the Sirah of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you pick up and learn about Ali radiallahu anhu yourself. Moving forward, Ali radiallahu anhu. As we mentioned, that these were certain great qualities that Ali radiallahu anhu possessed, you know, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with. Now, as far as Ali radiallahu anhu passing away, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was once sitting with Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in, and he said to Ali radiallahu anhu, and he said to Umar radiallahu anhu as well, indirectly, that they were going to be martyred. And in fact, one companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his name was Hudhayfa bin al-Yaman radiallahu anhu. When Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, Umar radiallahu anhu, he would go often to Hudhayfa bin al-Yaman radiallahu anhu, because he had the list of all the munafiqeen, all the hypocrites that were there during the time of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not disclose that to anyone. So Umar radiallahu anhu would go often just to be cool and to be connected to Hudhayfa bin al-Yaman, not to find out who's on that list, but to make sure that he wasn't on it. So one day, Umar radiallahu anhu, he said to Hudhayfa bin al-Yaman, that, you know, tell me something about Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Tell me some hadith, something that you know that maybe I don't know about Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Hudhayfa bin al-Yaman radiallahu anhu, he said, yes, there is something that comes to mind. He said, what is that? He said that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that a time will come when there is going to be a person, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam give an example of a door, and he said, this door, when it's gone, then all of the fitna will start, all of the trials are going to start. When that door is going to be gone, meaning when that person is gone, then all the trials are going to start, all the fitnas are going to start. So right away, Umar radiallahu anhu figured, and he was very intelligent, that it was referring to him. So Umar radiallahu anhu said to Hudhayfa bin al-Yaman, that is it going to be broken? Is the door going to be broken? Or is it going to be unlocked? So Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu, he said, no, it's not going to be unlocked. Rather, it's going to be broken. Umar radiallahu anhu understood from there that he is one of those people that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is referring to, that he's going to get shaheed. He will be martyred. And Ali radiallahu anhu was also one of those people. Now, before we get into that, what we need to understand, and I won't go on a lot of details. Like I said, it's very interesting and it's very lengthy. And I would suggest everyone to study the books on Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in. There are many great books out there. So when Uthman radiallahu anhu passed away, and he was also martyred, there was a little bit of a confusion. There were many groups, and there were a lot of fitna that were starting, a lot of trials, mischief. And one of those things were that basically there were two major groups. There was one group who respected Ali radiallahu anhu a lot, a lot. They respected him so much, that They took him out of respect. Meaning they didn't keep him on the level that he was. They took him beyond that. They took him on the level of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, na'udhu billah. They said that Ali radiallahu anhu should be on the position of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And in fact, there was another group from amongst them. They said, no, he is the Imam. So Imam, according to them, is na'udhu billah, not even a prophet, but higher than a prophet. He had the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So some people went in that extreme. Just the way we have about Isa alayhi salam, that there are a group of people who went extreme on Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, they take him as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or the son of Allah, na'udhu billah. So they did the same thing with Ali radiallahu anhu. I'm just explaining this in simple words. Now the other group that was there, they were totally against Ali radiallahu anhu. So much so, they were so against him that they plotted to kill him. And in fact, there was a person amongst them who was the leader of this group. His name was Abu Muljim. Abu Muljim, he was bribed by someone else who had a very, very beautiful daughter. And he said that if you go and assassinate Ali radiallahu anhu, I'll give my daughter in marriage to you. So Abu Muljim, he made this attempt and he made this plan, he made this plot, he gathered some people, and it was very similar to Umar radiallahu anhu's assassination as well. When Umar radiallahu anhu was also martyred, it was the time of Fajr, I believe, or one of the prayers, most likely it was Fajr Salah, and Ali radiallahu anhu made his way outside of his house, and he is making his way to the masjid, and as he's making his way, this person, Abu Muljim, he comes, and from the back, he sliced Ali radiallahu anhu. And he gave him one blow, and then he gave him another blow, and Ali radiallahu anhu from the back, and it went right through. And Ali radiallahu anhu basically, right there and then, he fell on the ground. But he did not die on the spot. Ali radiallahu anhu, after that, he lived for 2 more days, and after that he passed away. And he passed away in a place called Kufa, the same place where, you know, the great scholar Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah is from as well. And his sons and other Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in, they performed the burial on Ali radiallahu anhu. Now, this was his assassination, and this is how Ali radiallahu anhu passed away. One thing that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, like I said, he gave these indications while he was still alive. And once he said that amongst the killers, there are 3 who are the worst. There will be a lot of murder and there will be a lot of killers who will kill other people, but there will be 3 who will be the worst. And he mentioned those 3. Number 1 was the son of Adam alayhi salam, who killed his brother. The reason why I'm not taking mention Habil or Qabil is because there is, you know, a little bit of a confusion, because since this is history, that which one killed who? There is nothing definite. Yes, most of the scholars, they say it was Qabil who killed Habil, but there is a chance it could be the other way around. So it's always safe to say the one who killed the other one. We don't have to worry about names. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, he is the worst killer. He's one of the worst killers because he's the one who started this. And everyone who would be dying and every person who would get killed, the person, the killer, the way when he killed that person, that sin will go to that person, the son of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, until the day of Qiyamah. So that's the first person. The second is, does anyone know? No. Firoz? No. During the time of Salih alayhi salatu wasalam, right? The nation of Salih alayhi salam, do you know what they were called? Who were they called? Waila something Saliha. Waila Thamud akhahu Saliha. You don't know that? You know that? right? He memorized this. وَإِلَىٰ ثَمُودَ أَخَاهُمْ صَالِحًا. So the people of Thamud, they had a ridiculous request. A ridiculous request. Said, you saying that you're a prophet of Allah? Said, yeah, I'm a prophet of Allah. Salih alayhi salam, he said, I'm a prophet of Allah. Said, prove it. So what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? So they said that, again, something very weird and ridiculous. They said that, you know, if you are a prophet of Allah, that means you can supplicate to Allah, and whatever you ask Him, Allah will do it. Isn't it true? He said, yes. So they said, make dua to Allah that this mountain, there were mountains there, Salih alayhi salatu wasalam, you know, he was from that area where there was a lot of mountains. And today that area is known as Pretoria in Jordan, that area. Even today, the dwellings of those people still exist. They used to make their houses out of mountains. They used to carve within mountains. You know how we carve in little things with stone? They used to make their houses within the mountain. They never used to break the mountain and use the rocks to make their house. They used to look at the mountain. I like this mountain. This is going to be my house. So, they told Salih alayhi salatu wasalam that from this mountain, you take out a camel. Said, camel, mountain, like, they doesn't go together. You know, if you tell me to take out a whale from the water, it kind of makes sense. Right? But camel and mountain, these are two separate things, like they don't go together. It doesn't click. Said, yeah, but you're a prophet of Allah, so you said that you can do this, so you know you gotta do it, or else we're not gonna believe in you. Salih alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, okay. He made dua to Allah, and subhanAllah, the mountain split and a camel came out. Now, they said, if you do this, we will accept. They saw with their own eyes that the mountain split, camel came out, Salih salatu wasalam said, here you go. Except now, what did they say? Yeah, but not right now. We want to see how long the camel is going to live. Is it even real? So they try to go close to it and try to touch it, poke it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He told them that whatever you do, don't harm this camel. Don't harm the camel of Allah. Because now this is our special request that you made, make sure you don't harm it. But they did not listen to Salih alayhi salam. فَعَقَرُوهَا فَدَمْدَمَ عَلَيْهِمْ رَبُّهُمْ بِذَنْبِهِمْ فَسَوَّاهَا. They did not listen to the instructions of Allah. They did not listen to Salih alayhi salam. And they went. And that one person who went ahead, and he slaughtered and he cut the camel that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down to them as a sign that it's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that he is also one of the worst killers. The third person that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, is Ali, is the person who is going to kill Ali. He is the worst killer. So these people, these three people, who was the first one? The son of Adam alayhi salam. Number two, the person who killed the camel of Allah. And number three, the person who would kill Ali radiallahu anhu. He was the worst person. Now, just to end off with these few things so that we understand, and there's a lot of these discussions. Like I said, I would suggest that you go into the details and learn about this. But a few misunderstandings in regards to Ali radiallahu anhu. One of the famous ones was, or is, that Ali radiallahu anhu did not get along with Fatima radiallahu anha, and Fatima radiallahu anha, the wife and the daughter of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she used to always be upset, na'udhu billah, by Ali radiallahu anhu. And that's why Ali radiallahu anhu, he came and he went to Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he said, O Prophet of Allah, I want to remarry and I want to marry the daughter of Abu Jahl. So, which we accepted Islam. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he disapproved of it, and he said, "Oh, Ali, I dislike that, and I would not like that." And Ali radiallahu anhu, he did not do it. So this is one objection that people make against Ali radiallahu anhu. The very, very simple answer to that is that, look, Ali radiallahu anhu, if he wanted, he could have went ahead. He did not need to take permission from Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to remarry. But he took permission and he consulted with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised no, and Ali radiallahu anhu did not do it. And as far as Fatima radiallahu anha being upset with Ali radiallahu anhu, and numerous hadith we will find that Fatima radiallahu anhu making dua for Ali radiallahu anhu, and vice versa. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being so happy that Ali radiallahu anhu was a son-in-law, and particularly in this case with this specific daughter of Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is one misunderstanding. The other is regarding one of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Aisha radiallahu anha. Now, you'll find in the books, and where Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where Ali radiallahu anhu and Aisha radiallahu anha, they had a little bit of a dispute. And naturally, it led to a little bit of an argument and things like that. One thing we should keep in mind, that disputes, arguments, is something that is common. That's there. Difference of opinions, these are things which were there during the Sahaba, during the time of Sahaba radiallahu anhu. Later on, and I'm cutting it very short, you can go in the details of this. Ali radiallahu anhu, he came to Aisha radiallahu anha and apologized, and the misconception, the misunderstanding that was there, that was removed, and that was not there anymore. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he even told Aisha radiallahu anha that there is a chance that you may get close, it may be close that you may fall into fitna, but you will be saved. And this was one of those things that Aisha radiallahu anha was heading in one direction, inclining towards one group, but later on she went and she understood what it was. And like I said, I'm not going in the details, it will take a lot of time. And Aisha radiallahu anha understood the message of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she reconciled and she made up with Ali radiallahu anhu. And one other thing that we should keep in mind is that Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'een, all of them, they were all on a different level. They were all on a different level, meaning they were all on one platform, and all of us are not even close to their feet. For Sahaba to have dispute amongst each other was common, and they used to resolve it amongst each other. We are in no position of saying anything against any of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'een. They had their disputes, they had their arguments. Uthman radiallahu anhu had his, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and this is something common. This was something there. And Prophet sallallahu, during the time of Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there used to be arguments. Have we forgotten the hadith about Laylatul Qadr? Do you remember? What is that hadith? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was made to forget when Laylatul Qadr was. Why? Because there was a dispute. There was an argument between two people. So that was there during the time of Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is something that is natural and it is allowed. So, and likewise, there were a few other important, misunderstandings. Like I said, I don't want to go into the details of that, but I would suggest that you learn about Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'een. And the bottom line is that we don't learn about Sahaba to know what happened in the past. Rather, what is it, what good qualities that they possess is what we can take and inculcate that within our lives. And we mentioned a lot of important points. We mentioned about the bravery of Ali radiallahu anhu, his steadfastness, his closeness with Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These are all things that we need to take within ourselves and say, this is something that I want to inculcate within my life. And I'll inshallah end with this hadith of Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which inshallah will cover all of the aspects of Ali radiallahu anhu, inshallah, which fits on him. And let's try to inculcate these four things in our life. There are four things. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, "Man ahabba lillah," a person who loves someone or something for the sake of Allah. Now remember this, pay attention to this. Man ahabba lillah. Not a person who loves Allah. That's there, regardless. Right? Man ahabba lillah. A person who loves for the sake of Allah. A person loves someone for the sake of Allah. A person loves something for the sake of Allah. Wa abghada lillah. A person who dislikes someone or something for the sake of Allah. What does it mean that you love someone for the sake of Allah? Someone who is, you know, a pious person. A person who may be religious. You love that person because he loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You understand? You're loving that person for the sake of Allah. You don't have, or you're coming to the masjid and you meet all these Muslim brothers. Right? And you say salam to them. And you meet with them with a smile. You don't have no other reason to meet with them. You don't have no other intention. That, you know, how is it that I can benefit from this person? How is it that I can do some business with this person? How is it that I can take some help from this person? That's not the reason. You're just saying salam. And you just want to be nice because they are Muslim. They are believers. أَحَبَّ لِلَّهِ For the sake of Allah, you love. وَأَبْغَضَ لِلَّهِ For the sake of Allah, you hate. What does that mean? That you dislike someone because they dislike Allah. They dislike the deen of Allah. They dislike Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They dislike those people who love Allah. So, وَأَبْغَضَ لِلَّهِ That you hate for the sake of Allah. Two things. وَأَعْطَى لِلَّهِ That you all, and you give for the sake of Allah. Whatever you do, whatever you give, whatever you try to help. Now, when we say give, doesn't necessarily mean money. Doesn't necessarily mean money. Your time, your health, your wealth. Whatever you do it for the sake of Allah. وَأَعْطَى لِلَّهِ You give for the sake of Allah. وَمَنَعَى لِلَّهِ The fourth, that you hold back from giving for the sake of Allah. Someone comes to you, says, can I have some money? Why do you want that money? So that I can go and do some kind of sin. Said, no, sorry, I can't give you money for that. You hold back your money. I can't give you because if you commit that sin, I will also get the sin. So, I don't want to give. Someone says, can you help me? Why do you need help? What is it that you need help for? I need help so that, you know, can you help me start my car? Where are you going? I'm going to go watch a movie. Said, sorry, I can't help you. I don't want to help you. But if he says, help me start my car so I can come to the masjid and you help him. Right? وَأَعْطَى لِلَّهِ You're giving for the sake of Allah. If he's going to the movie, then وَمَنَعَى لِلَّهِ You're stopping for the sake of Allah. So we understand these four. Let's go through them again. أَحَبَّ لِلَّهِ Love for the sake of Allah. أَبْغَضَ لِلَّهِ You hate for the sake of Allah. You dislike someone, you dislike something for the sake of Allah. وَأَعْطَى لِلَّهِ You give for the sake of Allah. وَمَنَعَى لِلَّهِ You hold back for the sake of Allah. Do you know what Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam he says? He said, if you have these four qualities within your life, فَقَدْ اسْتَكْمَلَ الْإِيمَانِ Your iman is now complete. You're complete. You have complete iman if you have these four things. And when we look at, you know, Ali radiallahu anhu is just an example of that. You look at every single sahabi, every single companion, they are an example of this hadith, of these four things. All of the sahaba had many other qualities, but these qualities had, all of them had. And Ali radiallahu anhu possessed them in such a way that it actually stood out. He loved for the sake of Allah, he disliked for the sake of Allah, he gave for the sake of Allah, and he held back for the sake of Allah. فَقَدْ اسْتَكْمَلَ الْإِيمَانِ May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also give us the ability of having these four qualities within us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also give us the ability of following on the footsteps of Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'een. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala قال أول بس صراط المستقيم أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله. So this alhamdulillah brings us to the conclusion of the series of the Khulafa'i Rashidin. We know we covered Abu Bakr, we covered Umar radiallahu anhu, Uthman, and now alhamdulillah we covered Ali radiallahu anhu. And like I said, we didn't go in a lot of detail, but we got a little bit of an understanding of each of them, and we can say that yes, I know a little bit about them. And I would suggest, like I said, that try to learn a little bit more about them. There's a lot of more interesting stories you learn from each one of them. And there are a lot of things that we can, inshallah, try to inculcate within our lives. Our next story. You know, we covered the Khulafa al-Rashideen. We covered, what else did we cover? We covered the story of Musa alayhi salam. We covered the story of Yusuf alayhi salam. So inshallah, our next story, night, inshallah, would be on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when is that going to be? Stay tuned. We'll let you know. I don't know when, but hopefully maybe in a month or a month and a half or 2 months. Usually we have it after a month or 2 months. So inshallah, stay tuned. If you're not connected, I would say that sign up for the email or on the WhatsApp group. It's there. You can just give your number to Saad and he will take care of you. That, and every time you have a program or something, you'll be notified through that or through the email. Inshallah. Jazakallah. Yeah.